Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. I can take or leave it if I please. That game of life is hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. That suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skin. It doesn't hurt when it begins, but as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger. Watch it grin. That suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. A brave man once requested me to answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me? That suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. I can take or leave it if I please. I'm kind of playing with some old TV theme songs tonight. Extra points if you can identify the TV show. Some of the lyrics were never actually used with the show. For instance, this one I just sang, well, it was used in the movie. It was a major part of the movie, in fact. But only the tune, the music for it, was used in the TV show. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, also at revolution.radio, and of course, on our own site, newdream.us, where we also post our archive shows, and we're due for major posting of some archive shows really soon. They should be there by this weekend. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Rayson, M.K. Davis, Frank Cordero, and Phil Ferruccio. And so this Thursday evening we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale in northern Minnesota, in Des Moines, in Port Orange, Florida, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in Benton, Mississippi, and wherever you are. May 28th, die-in and civil resistance versus nuclear weapons. March and rally to the entry of the National Nuclear Security Administration's Weapons Parts Plant, 14510 Botts Road, Kansas City, Missouri. Die-in and civil resistance versus nuclear weapons goes from 9:45 a.m. to about 12:30 p.m. on May 28, 2018. Take action for a world free of nuclear weapons. It's possible if you're not doing anything else. The 9th annual PeaceWorks KC Memorial Day Witness for a Nuclear Weapon-Free World. Contact Henry Stover, 913-375-0045, or go to the website peaceworkskc.org.
Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferruccio. Philip joins us every week from Port Orange, Florida. He's an activist. He posts on many, many websites. And we're very happy to have him on our show doing this segment. It's the Empire, stupid.
Okay, how soon the suckers forget? I'm looking at a picture here of George W. Bush with Ellen DeGeneres backstage after the former president appeared on The Ellen Show, and he was hailed by her as a good friend. How many lies and how many innocent lies have been sent out into the ethers by men like Junior Bush and his Bush-Cheney cabal? Too many is the answer. Yet, as with the case with the Irish singing star and humanitarian Bono, Junior Bush has been, quote, born-again philanthropist. Well, good for him, but that should not and does not absolve him from his war crimes. The real shame of all of this is just how short a memory do Ms. DeGeneres and Mr. Bono have. I mean, come on, you two media stars. Have you forgotten what transpired beginning in October of 2002? Does this writer need to once again review the horrific damage that we and our whatever in the hell we named this NATO-led coalition did to the nations of Iraq and Afghanistan? Bono, you, the humanitarian, have you seen the photos of the myriad of little children with no limbs or eyes or birth defects from our depleted uranium shells? Ellen, you will call yourself such a liberated feminist. How many women in those two countries are either dead or widowed or parentless, childless, due to those actions signed off by Junior Bush? Utterly disgusting. Now, let us not forget Mr. Obama, who has his dirty hands in all of this empire on steroids. It was he, influenced stringently by Mrs. Clinton and the other neocons surrounding him, that signed off on the illegal and immoral carpet bombing of Libya in 2011. All that accomplished was to open up that nation to the chaos it still is engulfed in. Another Middle Eastern nation that, for all of Gaddafi's flaws, had the greatest standard of living and a better safety net than we have here. All destroyed for the sake of empire. You see, Gaddafi was going to take Libya off of the petrodollar and onto a new African currency. And he would not participate in our empire's Africa Command, or better known as AFRICOM. AFRICOM. For Junior Bush and his Bush-Cheney cabal, Saddam Hussein, for decades, who was our gangster running Iraq, was conned by Bush Sr. in 1990-91 into our infamous Desert Storm. Years later, he decided to begin selling his oil away from the petrodollar and via the euro. So bye-bye, Saddam. The sad joke many of us in the anti-war community share is that if Iraq had coconut oil under the ground instead of crude oil, no more Saddam to Hitler and no more war on Iraq 1 and 2. One surmises that Ms. DeGeneres and Mr. Bono most likely don't care about all these facts. Do you? Thank you.
And now, to the Rimsky-Korsakov. And now for another episode of Professor Rutherford T. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Professor Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home, getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement, imitation cedar panel man cave. He has his computer and his headset and professional looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English setter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor, feet straight in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea and sets the bottle on the floor near his feet. Around on the walls are photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. He smiles as he types salutations to the many listeners now showing up in the chat room from around the world.
Skagway. Hello, Roslyn. Hi there, all. Sleep Mute. Sicily, Mayberry, Virginia City. Hello, College Station, Beverly Hills, Barstow, Columbia Heights, Foggy Bottom, Rocky Top, Bear Creek, Sandy Holler, Alsace, Genoa, Venice, Vicksburg. Hello, hello, welcome, hello. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep. Sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep. Sleep. Drowsy Time Tea. Forget about it. And sleep.
You. 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 Stop. Whatever it is you're doing, because it really doesn't matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persists in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. None of it matters. You do not matter.
Hello, 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 welcome to all. I'm so glad you are here. Let's get right to it, shall we? Max Blumenthal and Dan Cohen's powerful new film, Killing Gaza, offers an unflinching and moving portrait of a people largely abandoned by the outside world, struggling to endure. Killing Gaza illustrates why Palestinians with little left to lose are rising up by the thousands and risking their lives to return to their ancestral homes. 70% of those in Gaza are refugees or the descendants of refugees, be treated by like human beings. Israel's blockade of Gaza, where trapped Palestinians for the past 7 weeks have held nonviolent protests along the border fence with Israel, resulting in more than 50 killed and 700 wounded by Israeli troops. It's one of the world's worst humanitarian disasters. Yet the horror is that Gaza, where 2 million people live under an Israeli siege without adequate food, housing, work, water, and electricity, where the Israeli military routinely uses indiscriminate and disproportionate violence to wound and murder, and where almost no one can escape. It's rarely documented. Killing Gaza was released Tuesday, May 15, to coincide with what Palestinians call Nakba Day. Nakba means catastrophe in Arabic, commemorating the 70th anniversary of the forced removal of some 750,000 Palestinians in 1948 by the Haganah, Jewish paramilitary forces, from their homes in modern-day Israel. The release of the documentary also coincides with the Trump administration's opening of the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. There's footage of Israeli soldiers in an artillery unit writing messages, including "Happy birthday to me," on the shells being lobbed into Gaza. The soldiers laugh and eat sushi as they pound Palestinian neighborhoods with explosives. What can I say? Words can't express the pain. We have suffered and resisted for so long. We've been suffering our whole lives. We've suffered for the past 60 years because of Israel. War after war after war. Bombing after bombing after bombing. You build a house, they destroy it. You raise a child, they kill him. Whatever they do, the United States, Israel, the whole world will keep resisting until the last one of us dies. Israel intentionally targeted power plants, schools, medical clinics, apartment complexes, whole villages. Robert Piper, the United Nations coordinator for humanitarian aid and development activities, said in 2017 that Gaza had a long time ago passed the unlivability threshold. Youth unemployment is at 60%. Suicide is epidemic. Traditional social structures and mores are fracturing, with divorce rising from 2% to 40%. Girls and women increasingly being prostituted, something once seen only rarely in Gaza. 70% of the 2 million Gazans survive on humanitarian aid packages of sugar, rice, milk, and cooking oil. The UN estimates that 97% of Gaza's water is contaminated. Israel's destruction of Gaza's sewage treatment plant means raw sewage is pumped into the sea, contaminating the beach, one of the very few respites for a trapped population.
Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea. Because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Forget about it and just sleep. And now for another episode of The Adventures of Orson B. Riddle, crisis actor of Paducah. Inside his little house, on the walls, above the TV and Xbox, in a brown frame, is his membership certificate to the Crisis Actors Guild. And on the kitchen table, he still has to mail it yet, is his membership application to the Propaganda Movie Actors Association. His suitcase lays wide open on the bed because he just got home from Florida. And you can't really see the stickers he has collected from Oklahoma, Texas, California, New York, Boston, Connecticut, Nevada. Orson B. Riddle usually only gets 1, 2, or maybe 3 days at home until it's time to pack up his makeup kit, head bandages, prosthetics, and go to the next big event. For 3 years, he worked at Walmart, and then he saw this ad on Craigslist, and he's never looked back.
It's a nice day. Orson is sitting in a tree in his backyard, listening to music on his headphone, eating graham crackers. The Uber pulls up in front of his little house. Orson watches the car. It's like one of those, it's purple. Maybe, could it be a RAV? RAV 4? 3? It's purple. The driver beep beeps, then honks one time loud, then pulls away. That was Orson's ride to the next big event. He got the notice 2 hours ago. He was supposed to be ready. He's been reading stuff on the internet, even though he's really not supposed to. You're supposed to watch the TV close to full volume all day long and wait for the telephone. So he was supposed to be ready when the Uber arrived. That's when he decided he wasn't ready and climbed a tree with the almost full box of graham crackers and his music. He's thinking about giving it up, quitting, throwing in the towel. Even though that would mean losing his free Cocoa Puffs for life, his timeshare in West Texas, his RV camping spot in Times Square, his 401k, and his PS3. He's been thinking of starting a new career. Maybe crisis acting isn't all there is. Orson B. Riddle had been thinking. Maybe he would like to be an astronaut. But one thing he still might do, though, he thought, as he chewed contemplatively on his graham cracker, wiping crumbs off his chest, to still go ahead and attend the annual Crisis Actors Convention being held next month in Las Vegas.
Join us next week for yet another episode of Orson B. Riddle, Crisis Actor of Paducah, sponsored by Quick Dry Oats. Hardens to a cement block in your stomach within minutes, because you never know when you're going to get a good hard kick in the gut. We're there for you on the job, on the weekend, even when you sleep, because these days, you really never know when the big hit is going to come, now do you? We're Quick Dry Oats of Northeast Minneapolis.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played, songs that made the hit parade. Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days. Didn't need no welfare state. Everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. And you knew where you were then. Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. People seem to be content. $50 paid the rent. Freaks were in a circus tent. Those were the days. Take a little Sunday spin. Go to watch the Dodgers win. Have yourself a dandy day. It cost you under a fin. Hair was short and skirts were long. Kate Smith really stole the song. I don't know just what went wrong. Those were the days.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies. But it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Here they come with a rum-ti-tum. They're having a toy parade. A tin giraffe with a fife and drum is leading the Cupid parade. A gingham cat in a soldier's hat is waving a Chinese fan. A plastic clown in a wedding gown is dancing with Raggedy Ann. Pee-fi, fiddle-dee-dee, they're crossing the living room floor. Pee-fi, fiddle-dee-dee, they're up to the dining room door. They call a halt for a chocolate malt or cookies and lemonade. Then off they go with a ho-ho-ho, right back to their toy brigade.
And now, tonight's Dick Tracy Crime Stoppers Bulletin. When you see something, say something. Because of the murder of investigative reporter Michael Hastings in a fiery car crash in Los Angeles, a special bulletin has been re-released. Be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. When you see something, say something. Because of the murder of men, women, and children in Waco, Texas, be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood. When you see something, say something. Because of the false flag attacks designed to put the public in a state of panic in Tucson, Aurora, Sandy Hook, Boston, and elsewhere, around the country and globe, citizens are asked to be on the lookout for FBI license plates in your neighborhood, as well as a long black limousine with tiny American flags fluttering from the quarter panels. The persons inside the limousine are to be considered liars and murderers. This has been your weekly Dick Tracy Crime Stoppers Bulletin. When you see something, say something.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream-of-consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest on the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Chuck talked to Frank earlier, and we're going to hear that conversation right now. Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, I'm walking between the Dingman House and the Berrigan House. I fixed a great chicken Indian curry rice thing, backed up by baked vegetables and a kick, out of the park salad. So it's a very good. A lot of people ate my meal, and we're preparing for our witness at the Drone Command Center Saturday at 4 p.m. The Armed Forces Day. It's on Armed Forces Day, and our banner says, honor vets, ground drones. And I'm going to risk arrest. This will be the fifth time in this campaign, and I'm going to do the Dorothy Day thing. Plead guilty and do the time. We're getting kind of excited here. Elliot Adams is our guest speaker. Elliot's a nationally known Vets for Peace person who's also very much involved in direct action and civil disobedience. And I believe Elliot is going to join us in risking arrest. So we'll see about that. Others will too, I imagine. Not a lot, but we're picking up and starting this campaign. Now, having said all that, the best news I have to offer you is that Jessica Reznicek has, come back and touched base. And all that is all great news. They're doing well. She and Ruby, they're both taking different routes. They're both got their heads back in the game for doing the work. They're finding places where they're going to try to make it work. So other than that, I can't tell you anymore because I don't know anymore, except I know that we're moving on at this passage. And I'm just tickled because it's a step in the right direction. We're all kind of lifted up by the most current Plowshares action that took place April 4th. The Kings Bay Plowshares folks went down there in Georgia on the coast at a Trident submarine scene there, and just had access to several places where they acted out and spoke truth with some form of property improvement, as we would say, with signs and hammers and blood. They're all locked up looking at felonies, federal felonies. Among them, Liz McAllister, 78-year-old wife of Bill Berrigan. But really, she's the matriarch of the East Coast peace movement, Catholic left crowd, and loved by all. And followed by her is Steve Kelly, Father Steve Kelly, a Jesuit who's is as much like Dan Berrigan as you're going to get. The guy gave his eulogy, and you could thought he was channeling Dan. Extraordinary man, done a lot of jail time, a lot of Plowshares actions. So these are the elders of this crowd, and the rest are all Catholic workers. Just amazing. Just amazing. So we're really excited about that, too. I mean, I am. Spring is sprung, and a new sense of purpose and meaning takes hold, and we'll keep, then we just keep doing what we do. I don't know what else to say. I'm just grateful that pieces are coming back together. There's no guarantee if and when Jessa will come back, because she still has to figure that out. But we're making it very clear that for both of them, Jess and Ruby, that if they're interested in the home base, it will give them all the space they need and want and support them, we're the place. So we'll see what happens. That's our pitch. But it's just good to know that they're in good shape. And again, of course, the feds aren't coming after them. So they're just going to figure out how to live with that and maybe just move on, probably going to, I think. Pretty sure that's what's going to happen, and that means back into the fry. So,
well,
it's not the end of the book; it's just another chapter, brother.
Right. Of course, you know the feds aren't coming after them yet. I mean, if they're back in town, who knows what might happen? But
well, that's true. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's no question about it. And they, 1 year later is not way too long out of the ordinary. I mean, Michelle Obit tells the story of her being not indicted till a year later and being pulled out of a protest line with the indictment. So, there's no question that they can come down on all of us and make it a big scene. Okay, then we're in a different place.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, at least you get some...
Until then, we're going after the drone campaign. So keep us in prayer and thought. Armed Forces Day. Honor the vets.
Absolutely.
Ground these killer drones.
Best honor we could give them is to bring them all home and...
Yeah.
Shut down.
That's true, brother.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's true.
Right. Frank, thank you.
All right. All right, Chuck. God bless. Bye-bye.
And now here's a big expensive advertisement for another one of those big hit blockbuster movies starring Harrison Ford, the black guy from Men in Black, Tom Cruise, and that one chick married to that one guy from Inglourious Basterds, and the Coen brothers, and Tom Hanks. This new hit movie coming to you this summer, big hit season, Chelsea Manning, President of the United States of America versus Barack Obama, loser terrorist on the loose. Some scenes from the coming big hit action movie. In this scene, we see President Chelsea Manning sitting at the head of a big, shiny, expensive table with generals and the vice president and other advisors seated all around and interns whispering in the doorway. President Manning, hypothetical question. If you had free reign over classified networks for long periods of time, say 8 to 9 months, and you saw incredible things, awful things, things that belonged in the public domain and
not on some server stored in a dark room in Washington, D.C., what would you do? Things that would have an impact on 6.7 billion people. Crazy, almost criminal political backdealings, the non-PR versions of world events and crises. There's so much. It affects everybody on Earth. And it's important that it gets out, I feel, for some bizarre reason. It might actually change something.
Now the camera soars over the desert. And we see the loser terrorist Barack Obama on the loose, perched way high in the air with a camel hump up his butt, smoking a cigarette with the towel on his head drooping into his eyes. The situation in Afghanistan demonstrates America's goals and our need to work together. Over 7 years ago, the United States pursued Bob and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban with broad international support. We did not go by choice. We went because of necessity. I'm aware there's still some who would question or even justify the events of 9/11, but let us be clear. Bob and Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. Now make no mistake, we do not want to keep our troops in Afghanistan. We see no military. We seek no military bases there. We would gladly bring every single one of our troops home if we could be confident that there were not violent extremists in Afghanistan and now Pakistan determined to kill as many Americans as they possibly can. But that is not yet the case.
Days pass, and we now see President Chelsea Manning welcoming the homeless of Washington, D.C. as guests into the White House for a state dinner. She is chatting with a legless veteran of the first Gulf War who is in a wheelchair, covered with anti-war buttons and stickers. President Manning, I had always questioned how things worked and investigated to find the truth. But that was a point where I was part of something. I was actively involved in something that I was completely against. But I was a part of it and completely helpless.
Our cameras quickly cut to a tall black man, the loser terrorist Barack Obama on the loose, standing in the back of the hall, now dressed as a waiter, still with a towel wrapped around his head and cigarette ashes on his coat. While he touches the drone in his front pocket, he smiles to himself and says to himself, the number of hunger strikers being force-fed by the U.S. military at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, has risen to 41. President Manning continues to speak from the podium at the front of the massive hall. The event occurs in 2007. I watched video in 2009 with no context. Do research. Forward information to a group of FOI activists. More research occurs. Video is released in 2010. Those involved come forward to discuss the event. I witnessed those involved coming forward to discuss publicly. Even add them as friends on Facebook. Without them knowing who I am, they touch my life. I touch their life. They touch my life again, full circle. I just couldn't let these things stay inside of the system and inside of my head. I recognized the value of some things, knew what they meant, dug deeper. I watched that video cold, for instance. At first glance, it was just a bunch of guys getting shot up by a helicopter. No big deal. But two dozen more where that came from, right? But something struck me as odd with the band thing, and also the fact it was being stored in a JAG officer's directory. So I looked into it. eventually tracked down the date and then the exact GPS coordinate. I was like, okay. So that's what happened. Cool. Then I went to the regular internet and it was still on my mind. So I typed into Google, you know, the date, the location.
The loser terrorist Barack Obama tries to get to the front of the auditorium with the drone in his front pocket, but is blocked by the crowd rising as one, blocking the aisles, cheering. Days, weeks pass, and we find the loser terrorist Barack Obama sitting on the curb, his feet in the gutter, wearing a soiled waiter's uniform and muttering to himself. Justice has been done. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Bob and Al-Qaeda, blah, 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 blah. But his death does not mark the end of our effort. There is no doubt that Bob and Al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must, and we will remain vigilant at home and abroad.
Now we come to the penultimate scene in the movie. President Manning strolling through the Rose Garden, hands in pockets, talking to her press secretary and the Peace and Justice Committee from St. Stephen's in Northwest D.C. Then I see this. I kept that in my mind for weeks, probably a month and a half, before I forwarded it to them. It was unreal. I mean, I've identified bodies before. Rare to do so. Usually it's just some nobody. It humanized the whole thing, resensitized me. I don't know. I'm just weird, I guess. I can't separate myself from others. I feel connected to everybody like they were distant family. I care. I probably shouldn't have read so many intellectual authors last summer. We're human. We're killing ourselves. No one seems to see that, and it bothers me. Apathy. Apathy is far worse than the active participation. I prefer a painful truth over any blissful fantasy. I'm not brave. I'm weak. Like I think I've said before, I'm not so much scared of getting caught and facing consequences at this point as I am of being misunderstood, never having the chance to live the life I wanted to. Well, it was forwarded to WikiLeaks, and God knows what happens now. Hopefully, worldwide discussion, debates, reforms. If not, then we're doomed as a species. I will officially give up on the society we have if nothing happens. I want people to see the truth, regardless of who they are, because without information, you cannot make informed decisions as a public.
The new hit movie coming to you this summer season, Chelsea Manning, President of the United States of America, versus the loser, Barack Obama, terrorist on the loose. Our next guest of the show is Anthony Rayson. Anthony Rayson joins us from Chicago each month. Anthony is a zine publisher, publishing the writings of prisoners. And we're going to try and contact Anthony Rayson in Chicago right about now.
Hi, please leave a message for Anthony.
We'll try his other number.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream Radio Show, and you are on the air.
All right, thank you. Well, I'm on a lake in northern Wisconsin right now. The reception might be a little spotty. Here we got a piece I wrote entitled, "An Anarchist Looks at the World." By now, everybody pretty much understands that Earth's days are numbered due to the deadly rape and plunder by man. nobody save for a depraved few really wants this to continue to accelerate. The problem isn't understanding exactly what is going on and what the best way to deal with it is. The only thing that can really stop this hellbound train is massive understanding and coordinated motivation and action. If people are paralyzed to their lazy boys. So hell yeah, the prospects look bleak. Now think, to even attempt to get people aroused in a critical mass of effectiveness requires a tremendous psychological turnaround in everybody. In place of cynicism, a serious political analysis, a fatalism clinging to some religion, feigned or real apathy, all the do-nothing arguments must be exercised and replaced with focused thought and action. It's the only thing that has really worked to any significant degree in all the struggles of the past. Look at the abolitionists in the 19th century. It takes a transcendent effort. Those that understand the situation should develop their abilities to relate this insight in such a way that anybody can understand what is being said and or implied. It requires a genuine solidarity-minded mindset every single day. Because every single day, children are dying and people are being murdered by these tyrants. You must crawl before you can walk. You must learn to think before you can actually think and do. We can't just run on instinct. We have to learn. I saw an Aristotle quote that I liked. It was something like, learning how to do things is learned by doing things that need to be learned to get done. How else are you going to learn anything that will be beneficial to you and others you deal with? So I'm a big fan of the unmistakably well-written truth. The more brutal and on target, the better. That's why I'm an anarchist, too, because I don't want anybody telling me what to say, think, or do under the law. Laws are permits for officially sanctioned criminal behavior. I want no gods, no rulers, no bosses, no sexist pigs, none of it. I, like everybody else, can and should rely on my own sense of fairness and humanity. As the most intelligent animal, an extinction-causing enslaver on Earth, we do have the fate of the world in our hands. Our choice has always been to be good, bad, or indifferent. Like all the other animals, we strive to provide for ourselves and those around us and experience a rewarding, joy-filled life. Now, which one of those three options do you think will be the most bring the most contentment and satisfaction? It's sure, doing what will make us feel the most fulfilled is also what needs to be done to check tyranny, suffering, and planetary degradation and restore a sustainable, mutually respectful planet of societies. Is that easy? No. So what? The problem is the most evil people on the planet, the mass murdering genocidists in Washington, corporate boardrooms, and military headquarters, orchestrate this worldwide exploitation and immiseration. They have many convinced that are psychologically deadened to the point that their massive daily bloodbath causing activities are to be ignored. That's profound psychological abuse of a whole society. When people aren't even allowed to care why their grandchildren's future is being sabotaged right under their noses and funded from their hard-earned paychecks, it's a cosmic monstrousness. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot can only salivate in yearning in the panorama of evil that is political history. A whole city's experiment with Agent Orange snuffed the light out of small children on a daily basis due to lack of basic necessities, for that could eat into corporate profits. War making for profit. It's an endless horror show of long drawn out bloody bombings and shootings, torturing and enslaving. Fear, horror, madness, and yes, desperation and a singular thirst for revenge are its fruits. We're seeing more clamping down at home. You can't do this or say that. Buy this. Watch this simulated conflict on your screens. Be truncated, self-loathing shells of yourself. Just remember, you work harder than the Japanese, and for what? So you can watch a fucking football game? So like the cowardly lion in the heart and soul must be put back into each and every one of our chests. And these got to be good, non-gutless hearts and souls. How about chucking all that bullshit and cultivating your own creativity and begin thinking out your mission in life? Everyone's got a unique ability to be tapped into. We do have heavy-duty brains that if we take them back from our psychologists and eugenicists, we can really put to good use. They're like high-end computers being used by a lazy and ignorant simpleton. The possibilities are endless, but the resolve has to come from within each one of us to compel ourselves to do what deep down we know we can and must do, actualize ourselves, and work up effective grassroots resistance through political and social organizing, but also with a developing cultural renaissance of resistance. This is the area that I'm really interested in lately. I was never a musician, but I am a writer. I can't draw very well or handprint either. I'm a writer, and I can't stand liars and bullies and murderers. So I thought about it and realized I had a long way to go. First, I had to practice and overcome my own fear. I had to read and learn an incredible amount of information. I had to figure out a way to connect to other people who felt the same way and who, lo and behold, be willing to work with me. I'm not the easiest guy to work with, but I can be. People rub me different ways. I'm an emotional tinderbox, but I would never hurt anybody. Sometimes I get upset with something. I try to always react to situations based on my thinking and feeling at the time. I'm never out to try to sell somebody a bill of goods. All I want to do is blurt out what I have to say and freely offer. Same from other writers, artists, and thinkers who, for some reason, I'm impressed with. I don't want any tyranny or any government. I don't want top-down relations. I don't want wage slavery, prison slavery, or sexual slavery. I think people should know what the objective deal is without all their thinking being clouded on purpose for ulterior motives by outside manipulators such as bosses, politicians, editorial writers, school administrators, army recruiters, sales bosses, and religionists. This brings me to why I am an anarchist. Anarchism to me is what I imperfectly try to articulate, the straight-up truth about a situation. It has no ulterior motives. The idea is truth, justice, and freedom, liberty. It's basically respect for people, a sharing of everything in a non-coercive, normal arrangement among equals. It is political courage and engagement which drive social morality and action. It asks that I develop and consult my own conscience. It's the taking back of one's own life. It's not chaos or hedonism or lack of respect for other people's stuff. It's a coming to grips with what is important in life and acting accordingly. Communism hates capitalism until they get into power themselves. Then they erect a brutal state that orchestrates state capitalism. They give you a dictatorship of the proletariat. Propaganda ploy because the dictatorship is on the proletariat. Religion steers people into conformity to government with what H.L. Mencken called, referring to faith, the irrational belief in the implausible. It rarely deals effectively with all the compensating agents of state and extreme capitalist industry. It's a vague promise to keep you from rocking the boat. It's also a genuine community where people gather and sing together. But the obvious benefits is this social activity can be accomplished outside of churches, although the state is very restrictive of gatherings with people, especially if they are at all politically conscious. It's very easy to run afoul of the law, and tens of thousands are processed in and out of courtrooms and prisons every single day. There are layers and layers of officials and police groups, lawyers, judges, generals, wardens, etc., politicians, conjuring up new and more restrictive living arrangements for citizens in or out of prison. More and more cameras are invading our privacy. We will soon probably have to get an identifying computer chip surgically implanted in our ass that will explode if we ever harbor anti-big thoughts. Recently, there's been a big push by the BOP to ban books to prisoners. Who saw that coming, eh? But even though the Constitution legitimizes slavery in the 13th Amendment, and always has had it, it's spelled out in other parts of the document, it's so short about its disgraceful loss of land. Of course, all the land was stolen and those then living on it were murdered.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Even though you're out there on a lake in Wisconsin.
Yeah. All right, thanks, man. Take care.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney joins us each month from Minneapolis. Larry is an activist. He is a writer, a radio show host. He was a member of the Black Panther Party in the 1960s. And we're going to attempt to contact Larry Pinkney right now in Minneapolis.
Larry, hi, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike. Hang on. Yeah, something got weird here. Hello, hello, who is this? Larry?
What's happening, Chuck?
Well, I'm having problems getting hold of Larry. I contacted him twice. He couldn't hear me, and he wasn't on the show with the rest of us. So I'm still trying.
Okay, all right.
So hang on one more try here. Skype is getting weird on us tonight. So hopefully we're...
That happens sometimes.
I'm pretty sure we're still on the air at least. So, give me just a minute, and we will see what happens. All right, let me try this a different way, since that didn't work. Let's see. Add people. Let's try it this way.
Greetings. I am very sorry that I'm unavailable to speak with you right now. Please give me a call back. Leave your name and number.
Okay, Mike, can you still hear me?
I can still hear you, yes. And I got an email from Larry, a little bit ago, saying he would be available.
He's definitely available, but I think he's trying to call us right now, and that's never going to work. So I'm hoping that I can get hold of him. I'm going to try again.
Okay, we'll all just listen to you trying.
All right. Okay. Usually isn't so difficult, but you know how it goes.
Oh, I know. When I tried to do it, it wasn't only difficult; it was impossible. But I know you'll get it done.
Okay. Well, I hope so.
Greetings. I'm very sorry that I'm unavailable to speak with you right now. Please give me a call back. Leave your name and number.
Mark, why don't you try doing something, and I'm going to go offline and see if I can get hold of Larry and see if we can get him for a couple minutes at least. So just go on.
For decades, centuries, America and the world has been protected by those strong enough, smart enough to hear the voice of honor calling to their hearts, those brave warriors to whom we owe our freedom. Who can forget Dorothy Day, Emma Goldman, Eugene Debs, George McGovern, Peter Morin, Amon Hennessy, Lucy Parsons, Big Bill Haywood. And today we salute those who continue to answer the call. The few, the proud, the women from Code Pink. Food, not bombs, a global force for good. Be all you can be. Join We Are Change, your local 9/11 truth group today. Aim high with the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee. An army of one or two or three or four in the morning, underwater, through the swamp, with a hammer in their teeth. Over the fence, through the fence, into the building to hammer on United States military killing machines and destroy them. The Plowshares Movement, defending freedom and humanity. We're looking for a few good women in black. Be part of the action. The world can't wait. Veterans for Peace. It's not just a job. It's an adventure. Peace is our profession. Join the Occupy movement. They're strong, and there's Catholic workers strong. Semper Fi. Hoorah. This is Andy Rooney reporting for the New American Dream Nightly News. I'm Andy Rooney, and you're not. Just saying. Well, I get a chance here to talk about the New American Dream, and I'm going to go for it. The kind of people we have running our government, if we really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree, Ronald Reagan making America strong again, the George Bushes riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the new liberal Democrats who care about you, SpongeBob, The Simpsons, and South Park. Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy, have more to tell us than those guys. If you really want to be a true American.
Mike.
Chuck.
I have contacted Larry, and I think we're going to be able to add him here. So I'm going to try again. So cross your fingers, pray, or whatever you think is appropriate right here, and we'll see what happens right about now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Larry, we can hear you.
Okay, great. The other two times or three times you called, couldn't hear you all on the other end. Anyway, why don't we get right down to it, because obviously I don't have much time left. Thanks for being persistent. I want to deal with something that I think everyone should pay attention to, and that's the so-called news media, the so-called mainstream news, vomit stream news. I just want to say something. that I really, today was a typical example of what the vomit stream media does, okay? And I'm going to give an example. I happen to be actually watching what President Trump said. Three different sources I watched, the full interview. Trump did not, I repeat, did not call, quote, immigrants animals. He was specifically asked a question from a woman. I saw this on my own screen on from three different sources that dealt with this vicious, heinous, murderous gang called MS-13. He did refer to them as animals. Quite frankly, I would have gone a bit further and called them creatures. I think they're creatures from the gates of hell. But the media, the vomit stream media, immediately twisted and distorted every single thing. And I remember the media doing this back in the day. They did it to the original Black Panther Party. They twisted and distorted everything. And they're even worse today. They did it with the so-called weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They're doing the same thing. There were no weapons of mass destruction. They did it. I mean, I can go on and on. They did it with the whole Gulf of Tonkin nonsense, and they continue to do it. This is not about Trump, all right? This is about the destruction of our constitutional republic, and we had better damn well understand what this vomit stream media is doing. The so-called liberal, so-called progressive media, they are none of those things. What they are is they are 21st century fascists, and they're trying to pit people one against the other, black against white, against so-called people of color. And I say so-called because white people are not transparent. They have color too. But anyway, I want to leave it at that. I'm very, very angry because I see this, and it's so despicable, and so many people believe this nonsense. It's not about Trump. It's about everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And they are destroying, the media, the vomit stream media, along with the deep state, are trying to destroy the very essence of critical thinking, the very essence of honest journalism, the very essence of all of these things, or both of these things. So I'm going to keep quiet. My time is limited. I'm very sorry that we couldn't connect a little bit earlier because I had other stuff I want to say. But I'm going to leave it at that. And I want to wish everyone out there, be you black, white, brown, red, or yellow, struggle on your local level. Struggle on your local level, okay, politically. Understand that this is what it's really all about. Thank you so much, and I hope you heard all that I've said, Chuck.
Thank you, Larry. We heard it, and we really appreciate your patience in waiting until we finally got to you. We tried really hard, but I don't know what went wrong. Skype decided to change the rules on us. we really appreciate your being on the show, and we'll talk to you next month.
Take care, my brothers. Take care, and all my brothers and sisters out there. Thank you so very much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now for another episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's sitting in a grove of trees next to a rotting deer carcass, can't see a thing, but he can hear that the highway is packed from all the noise. He cranks the Bolshoi Ballet in his earbuds as he snacks on the boiled potatoes he brought for break, and also sneaks a peek at the crayfish buckwheat blintzes he packed for his lunch. He's got his personal phone pressed to his ear, waiting for a call to St. Petersburg to go through
and the scanner is running, waiting for a message from the Kremlin.
Buddy gets out of the squad car, stands by the side of the road, and points up at the sky. Cars slow down. Tires squeal. Horns honk. Vehicles pull over. People get out and look up where Buddy is pointing. Buddy gets back in his car, drives away. Goes downtown by way of the back highway. Stops on the side street. Goes to Main Street. He stands on the sidewalk and points up at the sky. People stop right by him and try to sight up his arm to whatever he's pointing at. Now he points over there. Lots of people stop. But he moves a few steps, points up again at a new something in the sky. People are looking up, asking each other, what is up? They are confused. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle, sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax. Also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, The View from My Porosky Cart. When your dogs tell you the Russians pooped in the hallway while you were at work, and the Democrats tell you, no, we didn't rig the elections against Bernie Sanders. We did not commit treason, dozens of felonies. We did not conspire against the American people. Look over there, Russians. We're there for you, protecting the homeland. Lemon Fresh Borax in the fading yellow box.
Our next guest of the show is M.K. Davis. M.K. Davis joins us each month from Benton, Mississippi. M.K. is an expert in the Bigfoot phenomenon. And maybe he'll choose to talk about that tonight. Sometimes he chooses to talk about politics. Okay, now we're going to try and get in contact with M.K. Davis in Benton, Mississippi.
Hello.
Well, hello, M.K. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
All righty. I want to talk a little bit about some of my misadventures that I've had since the last time I talked. And one of them involved me going up to some Indian mounds to use my drone. I was going to go up to these mounds on the Natchez Trace called the Far Mounds, spelled with P-H. And I had heard through the grapevine that there was Bigfoot activity there. So I got interested in it, and I said, well, I'm just going to go up there, and I'm going to film from the air, you know, the entire complex. So it took me about, it was almost to Tennessee. I mean, it's way up there. And I got up there and got my drone out. It was, not much traffic up and down the trace. I went out where I could get some flat ground in the grass there and took off, and I was up high, kind of filming around, you know, rotating my camera 360 and getting some pretty good footage. And I heard somebody say something to my right, and I looked back there, and there was an officer of the law. And he came down there and told me that it was illegal to fly a drone on the Natchez Trace. And of course, the drone was already up there. So I kind of talked with him over my shoulder. I couldn't give him too much attention because I was flying that thing. But he started asking me questions about it. And at first it sounded friendly enough, you know, like he was just interested in the drone, but he was using terms that was kind of military, you know, like, what is the payload? And I told him, I said, well, it came with a camera on it. I don't know. I couldn't put anything else on it. I wouldn't know how, you know, it was attached to it. and we talked for a good while, and then he got kind of serious and wanted my driver's license. And then he called in to somewhere with my driver's license, and then he told me, he says, we're going to issue you a warning, an official warning, over the phone. And that if you fly the drone again on any U.S., this was a parkway, but parkways or parks, you will be ticketed. You know, so he kind of started out soft-like, friendly-like, and ended up kind of, hard-lining. But he did let me keep my video footage that I got. So, and he also mentioned this. He says they may change their minds about drones soon. And I don't really know what he meant by that. I've been out to several of the national parks, and I've noticed that they use those national parks, the military does, to transport, some secret type stuff at low altitudes. When I was out there, a stealth fighter came over, and it was being escorted by some kind of other type fighter. And it was so low, it was unbelievable how low that thing was. Maybe they use those as car doors, but it seemed to me like maybe it was so low that if someone had a gun, they could certainly hit it. I thought it was, I guess they have their reasons for that, but I can understand why you wouldn't want to fly a drone, where that type of activity is going on. There's other things that they don't talk about or won't talk about, but, there's, I think, 50 million drones registered in the United States, something like that. It's, at some point in time, they really need to clarify, because taking a picture of a field with mounds in the field, it was kind of harmless. Every drone owner is plotting to do something with their drone. It's just something that's a hobby to most people, or some people don't even fly their drones but one or two times. Another thing, I've seen this has been, a time for me getting into trouble or unusual things happening to me, but I went down to Honey Island to take drone footage. I was going to get some drone footage of the island, and I got my drone footage, and then me and a friend that I met down there decided we were going to walk out and go look at Harlan Ford's. Harlan Ford was the guy who first reported the Honey Island Swamp Monster, and we were going to find his hunting camp. So we went out there and we found it, and then I decided to go, let's walk down to the spillway. I knew where the spillway was, but we went by boat the last time I was there, and it's a long ways, and we walked and we walked and we walked and we walked. Finally made it there, and there was this makeshift tent. It wasn't a real tent. It was made out of tarps and spreads and just various pieces of stuff, bedspreads. And there was nobody in it, and it had all of their earthly goods and even their underwear and their boots and everything. And whoever was in it had cut their way out with a knife and just split it open and ran out the front and abandoned it. And some fishermen said it had been abandoned for about a week, and everything was there. They had a garbage bag full of folded clean clothes, a cowboy boots, underwear was laying on the trail. And it was kind of scary because, whether there's a monster or not, it that did cross my mind, you know, because it was in the area. But also, there are other monsters running around, you know, that are the human type. And then there's the swamp itself, which it didn't, in and of itself is a monster that can swallow you. So we became kind of concerned that somebody leaving like that, leaving all their clothes, leaving everything, make something that happened to them. So my friend called the sheriff department, and I really don't know. We haven't heard a report back. But, you know, when you go into these places, you know, and they're wild, wild places. And sometimes people go back there to get away. They go back there to escape from something. And they set up a camp back there. And then somebody or something ran him off in such a haste that he didn't even have his underwear. He didn't have anything. There was a burner there for starting fires. His toothbrush was laying on the ground.
I hope you will be careful when you're out in them there woods.
Well, I'm going back down there. You know, that was a recon, you know, with my drone to kind of get things oriented and everything. And I'm going back down there in about around the 1st of June. So we'll see if there's any monsters in there or if there's any monsters of the human type. You don't want to disappear into Honey Island, that's for sure.
All right. Well, we don't want you to disappear. We want you to be right back here the same time next month.
Me too. I want to walk right back out of it like I walked into it. But
okay.
You know, it's that's one of the places in this world that you can disappear.
It sounds like it. Hey, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Baby Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we join In Progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more.
The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and alleluia, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. The White House softball team is entered in the Beltway Summer League, along with teams from the fake Russian Red Scare, CBS Fake News, NBC Propaganda CIA News, the DC ISIS Office, Al and Bob Qaeda, Crisis Actors of the Homeland, the MK Ultra Terrible Torturers, Hollywood CIA Movies Propaganda Pandas, the COINTELPRO Chaplains, the Border Patrol Sharpshooters, the Arizona Immigrant Vigilantes Rough Riders, Dick Cheney's Personal Assassination Team Bombers, a team put together by Thane, Eugene Caesar, and Jesse Jackson, the Kill the Dreamers Dropouts, and the CIA-sponsored Operation Mockingbird Lying Scum Washington Press Corps. Buzz, the space dog, is the captain of the White House Assassins and plays second base. Ricardo, the space cat, plays shortstop. Rusty, the patsy, is the catcher. Mama Pajama Jemima, the MKUltra trainer, is the pitcher. Jews, the limo driver, plays first base. Muhammad Ali, the terrorist, patrols center field. Spanky, the house alien, plays right. And Skippy, the construction worker self-taught on YouTube demolition expert, is in left. The team is coached by Coach President Cosmo Nutt, and Imelda Nutt is the team cheerleader. The child left behind coaches first base, and Morgan Freeman, Secretary of the War of the Worlds, coaches third. The team scorekeeper is Warren Beatty, the Secretary of Getting Things Right. The team statistician is Ralph, the janitor, Secretary of Keeping Things Secret That Should Be Secret. The season starts today as the White House Assassins take on the CIA Operation Mockingbird Lying Scum Washington Press Corps at the Mary Meyer Memorial Georgetown South Complex. Assassin's team captain Buzz the Space Dog heads out to the pregame home plate meeting with the lying scum captain and the two deep state umpires. Buzz nuzzles with the lying scum captain and the umpires and then heads for his own dugout. Everyone is smiling. The lying scum captain, Buzz, the deep state umpires. Because they know this game is rigged.
Join us next week for yet another episode of The Americans, when we will see Coach President Cosmo Nutt sitting cross-legged on the ground in front of the assassin's dugout, drawing in the sand, dollar signs, tanks, and boobs. And now a letter in the Boone's Farm Bottle, messages from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. Now a note from Smedley Butler in Arlington. An empire of nothing at all, the U.S. military takes us through the gates of hell. The Costs of War Project of Brown University's Watson Institute published an estimate of the taxpayer dollars that will have gone into America's War on Terror from September 12, 2001 through fiscal year 2018. That figure, a cool $5.6 trillion. On average, that's at least $23,386 per taxpayer. Keep in mind that such figures, however eye-popping, are only the dollar costs of our wars. They don't, for instance, include the psychic costs to the Americans mangled in one way or another in those never-ending conflicts. They don't include the costs to this country's infrastructure, which has been crumbling while taxpayer dollars flow copiously and in a remarkably, in these years, almost uniquely bipartisan fashion into what's still laughably called national security. That's not, of course, what would make most of us secure, but what would make them, the denizens of the national security state, ever more secure in Washington and elsewhere. We're talking about the Pentagon, the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. nuclear complex, and the rest of that state within a state, including its many intelligence agencies and the warrior corporations that have by now been fused into that vast and vastly profitable interlocking structure. In reality, the costs of America's wars still spreading in the Trump era are incalculable.
Just look at photos of the cities of Ramadi or Mosul in Iraq, Raqqa or Aleppo in Syria, Sirte in Libya, or Marawi in the southern Philippines, all in ruins. In the wake of the conflicts Washington set off in the post-9/11 years, try to put a price on them. Those views of mile upon mile of rubble, often without a building still standing untouched, should take anyone's breath away. Some of these cities may never be fully rebuilt. And how could you even begin to put a dollars and cents value on the larger human cost of those wars? The hundreds of thousands of dead. The tens of millions of people displaced in their own countries or sent as refugees fleeing across any border in sight. America's never-ending 21st century conflicts were triggered by the decision of George W. Bush and his top officials to invade and occupy first Afghanistan and then Iraq, with dreams of dominating the greater Middle East and ultimately the planet, as no other imperial power had ever done. Their overwrought geopolitical fantasies and their sense that the U.S. military was a force capable of accomplishing anything they willed it to do launched a process that would cost this world of ours in ways that no one will ever be able to calculate. Who, for instance, could begin to put a price on the futures of the children whose lives in the aftermath of those decisions would be twisted and shrunk in ways frightening even to imagine? Who could tote up what it means for so many millions of this planet's young to be deprived of homes, parents, educations, of anything, in fact, approximating the sort of stability that might lead to a future worth imagining. Though few may remember it, I've never forgotten the 2002 warning issued by Amr Moussa, then head of the Arab League. An invasion of Iraq would, he predicted that September, open the gates of hell. 2 years later, in the wake of the actual invasion and the U.S. occupation of that country, he altered his comments slightly. The gates of hell, he said, are open in Iraq. His assessment has proven unbearably prescient, and one not only applicable to Iraq. 14 years after that invasion, we should all now be in some kind of mourning for a world that won't ever be. It wasn't just the U.S. military that in the spring of 2003 passed through those gates to hell. In our own way, we all did. Otherwise, Donald Trump wouldn't have become president. In all these years, while three administrations pursued the spreading war on terror, America's conflicts in distant lands were largely afterthoughts to its citizenry. Despite the largest demonstrations in history aimed at stopping a war before it began, once the invasion of Iraq occurred, the protests died out, and ever since, Americans have generally ignored their country's wars. Someday they will have no choice but to pay attention.
A letter in a Boone's Farm bottle. Messages we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy.
Well, it's been another long week in Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. The local newspaper editor is already fighting the rumor of the proposed construction of a new prison near town. His father was also a newspaper man. He despises the term embedded. He thinks Tom Brokaw, Ben Bradley, Bob Woodward, Wolf Blitzer, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, probably Walter Cronkite as well, were all CIA. It begins in the heart, was one of the editor's most recent editorials about the need for a new American revolution. He had said that if there were to be a revolution in America, it would come from the center, from the heart, the land, the heartland. It would be something to turn the thousands of church buildings into more than social halls. It would happen here, because here some folks have it within them to know right from wrong. Otherwise, what was he doing here? You can't go about your delightful day letting other people scrounge in the dirt for scraps from your table and then act all excited and surprised when they try to snatch a sliver of the pie from your kitchen window. That's what he said. He hopes his writing will perhaps get him out of Moon Rock Lake. Somehow an editor in Cleveland or Akron will find him. Invite him to a real newsroom. Maybe that boss would let him do his job, the job of any good newspaper reporter confronted with small-town hysteria over some stupid thing. He would face it down with his Macintosh, like a sheriff in the street telling the lynch mob, "That'll be far enough, boys." Because he's the editor-in-chief, every goddamn morning the grass fire of the day's worries surrounds Jackson Cornwall III, threatening to devour him as he shoves through the Wednesday Miracle glass front door. Actually, he wanted to write, not edit. This was the job offered. Well, they need the money. Radio blared from the empty desk of the sports reporter. "Good morning, Moon Rock Lake. This is KWML on your AM dial, bringing you the hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and your work week weather forecast." "What do you got for today?" Cornwall asked Kurt, one of his two reporters. "Well, there's a supervisor's meeting, pets parade at the nursing home. Somebody said something to Tori's cousin about a fire somewhere last night." "Paula in?" Cornwall asked. "Haven't seen her yet." I'm going next door. We'll have a meeting when I get back, said Cornwall. Jackson wants Kurt's job. Just be a reporter. Everyone liked the story Jackson wrote when he got the time. They told him so. He wrote about school boards, war heroes, flower gardens, and parades. What he really wanted were murders and robberies with strings of guts caked to the wallpaper. At the big paper, he'd shine. He'd write about important things, not like the story yesterday about how the wheelchair club petitioned the city council to put in ramp curbs downtown. He needs to be a hero. He fears he's not a good enough person to just be normal. He doubts they would let him be a hero in Moon Rock Lake. What is there to be a hero about around here? If he had a chance, he could be super writer to shove through the door just before deadline, punch out literature about the things he discovered that day. He would hang a cigarette out his mouth. Jackson had read that Jimmy Breslin did it that way in New York. Jackson wants to be able to write about the castaways, the forgotten ones around town, the way Breslin wrote about the murder victims and the regular guys who stumbled into the path of the oncoming establishment. To the rescue comes the writer, with a telling detail about a lucky strike ash about to fall just as the rich guy is turned back. Once Jackson turned out a good column about the grocery store checkout crew, how even though only in high school they took their time to talk to the old ladies when they pushed their carts to their cars, how the old people liked that, but there'd been no guns. Jackson believes in Moon Rock Lake because he walks past the Crispy Cafe each morning on his way to the office, then comes back as soon as he can to sit and relax, have his coffee. He knows there's a certain spark in the cafe, beginning with the man hunched over the griddle, the born-again owner wearing the white stained t-shirt with the inscription, "The cook is on fire." Jackson looks inside the front window past the red checkered curtains and the stenciled inscription in the high school sports posters. He sees Mayberry, Metzger's Field, and Hooterville. And he sees men drinking coffee from thick snow-white cups with hands stained with real dirt that will never come off. He sees grandmas and grandpas holding on to each other over the table as if clinging to both sides of a raft in the middle of the sea. He sees high school boys and girls at the counter drinking pop that they don't even taste because they're so excited to be talking about whatever that will never, ever taste as sweet as right now. This moment. Now. No, it's gone. Save it. Oh, it's gone. He sees the dawn sheep judging at the county fair, and a winter's morning sunlight on the water tower, and Jesus. The bell atop the front door jingled like Rudolph as Jackson walked in. 9 round metal stools at the counter face a Wells Blue Bunny calendar hanging from 3 swatches of duct tape on a 10-foot mirror. The Crispy opens at 5 a.m., through the day, groups gather in the booths and around the 10 tables, sipping coffee and rebuking anything they've heard on the radio or in the daily papers. The 5:35 construction workers crouch silently in the middle of the room, clutching life jacket mugs to keep them out of the day's chill for 2 more minutes. The mid-morning business crowd displays themselves in the front 2 booths. Later, the mid-afternoon retired men pulled 2 tables together in the back by the restrooms to play hearts and fart. The checkout sits at the south end of the counter on a glass case filled with Baby Ruth bars, red and yellow suckers, and year-old junior mints. An open matchbox of mint toothpicks cozies up next to the register like an old hound. Waitress Chandra Schumann wears her hair short. Used to be in a beehive. Before that, a bun. The uniform she has on has been left in the wash with a red towel, and she's just going to have to wear it now. With the grace of a figure skater, she steps around canes, crackers, pacifiers, sliding over the white and black tile between her tables. She works Monday through Saturday, 5 to 2. The owner and his wife cook breakfast, lunch, and supper and help with the tables and register. Each summer, a different class holds its reunion in the Crispy, which used to be the carousel till it burned, and the born-again cook bought it from his old boss and held a contest to rename it. Let everybody vote between Crispy and Phoenix. During the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the place was the high school hangout before McDonald's, Dairy Queen, and Taco John sprang up along the highway. Chandra rushes across a floor gouged with black boot scuff marks. Maybe some still there from 1932 when the farmers crowded inside before they stormed the Ace County Courthouse to stop the for sale of Garner Warner's farm. Out in the grove behind the old Lutheran cemetery, they had the noose pulled tight around the neck of the grizzled judge who would not agree to stop foreclosing on farms when the National Guard arrived with bayonets drawn. Today, Jackson Cromwell III, the editor, needs to make a list of stories for this week's issue. Remember to go to the manager's meeting at noon and make it to one of his daughter's basketball games before the season ends. He sat down in his customary front window booth, prepared for the solitary comfort of eating. Food could not be enjoyed any other way. Taped to his office desk, he kept a permanent to-do list. Cafe, meditate, run. He did not meditate or run, but if he kept the pressure on, someday he might. Jackson looks out the window to think, nods, waves to the State Farm agent because he has to. Looks back down at his notes. Having lived in this area most of his life, Jackson knows it all around here for miles. Handmade signs of boards rented from U-Haul dot the landscape. Are you a slave to alcohol? If your Bible is in good shape, you probably aren't. God bless America. We support our troops. He's also aware that pockets of cynical populists also inhabit the backcountry. And if he never gets to the big paper, well, maybe they will save him. Pull his spirit out of the blue haze of the television glow and into the light. These, they do not put messages on their lawns. They send joke suggestions to Garrison Keillor and review new fiction for the New Yorker. Their great-grandfathers loved Eugene Debs and Robert La Follette and learned to despise Woodrow Wilson. Their great-grandmothers admired Dorothy Day and Jeanette Rankin. And they learned at their knees about a day when life was hands-on, when people read and cared about what was happening and followed the deeds of national leaders as if they were sitting at the weekly sales barn auction or reading the minutes of the local school board meeting or co-op association. They go to church meetings and school plays, realizing they enter and exit always slightly out of step with their neighbors. At election time, they enter the middle school gym with seed corn caps in hand, right in their wildest hopes, then get home to milk, leaving the radio on into the night. They mow their lawns, scoop their walks, looking up every now and then at the sound of the city snowplow scraping, listening for the revolution. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you will be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomflips.com. For the New American Dream Radio Show. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, all the interviews, the technical guru stuff, everything that makes this show possible. Thanks to our guests, Anthony Rayson, Larry Pinkney, Phil Ferruccio, Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests. Also, the show archives, newdream.us. Also, penmagazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Croker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. Good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Kalbash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hogstrong. Good night, Ken Lee. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
We're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the east side. Finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby, ain't nothing wrong with that. We're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Good night, everybody.
Kid, what do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country was founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Radio!
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. Or human beings.
Time when the operation
makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves